Decide to be profitable. First things first, profit is not a four-letter word. There are those who have a very negative view of big business, associating all the ills of society with the profit that big business generates. And the truth is, every business, no matter what size it may be, needs to turn a profit in order to stay in business. Ironically, even not-for-profit organizations must actually raise money, more money than they spend on their programs, in order to continue doing their good work. Of course, that overage is funneled back into the organization rather than in stockholder shares or any other bottom line entry, but they still have to raise more money than they spend, much like the entrepreneur has to have revenues that exceed their expenses. No matter what business you're in, you need to generate a profit. Now, I'm not talking about unscrupulous CEOs who become profiteering crooks like Bernie Madoff or Jeff Skilling, like from Enron, or other people who have profited illegally from their ventures. However, there are some people who have kind of a greedy SOB mindset about entrepreneurship and any entrepreneur who turns a profit, and that's wrong. The foundation of a successful business is the ability to turn a profit by solving problems and curing pains. Those problems and pains may be figurative or they may be literal, as in the case of businesses that help people recover from disasters or catastrophes. It is unfair for these types of businesses to turn a profit. Is it? Of course not. It's as fair for them to be profitable as it is for you to be profitable. Take a company like ServPro, the fire and water damage restoration service, as a prime example. The company is in business to clean up after its clients suffer a catastrophe, like a flood or fire damage. Do they turn a profit as a result of someone else's literal hardship? Yes. Is that wrong? No, absolutely not. If they weren't profitable, they'd close up shop and wouldn't be there the next time someone suffered a catastrophe, leaving that person, possibly you, or business to attempt to clean up without the resources they need. Similarly, have you ever had a windshield damage? If so, it wasn't covered by insurance. Were you glad there was someone there to make that repair? Did they ease your problem of a smashed or damaged windshield? Did you begrudge that company making a profit? I suspect not. On the other side of the coin, alarm companies make their profit proactively. If the news wasn't filled with stories of break-ins and robberies and burglaries, there'd be no need for alarm companies. If you've ever been the victim of a break-in, you know how unsettling that crime can be. Your pain point becomes the worry that it could happen again. The alarm company you pay eases that pain by providing some peace of mind. Your alarm monitoring service is making money to eliminate or at least ease your worry. Is that wrong? I suspect you don't believe so. I don't, especially if you've had the unfortunate experience of being the victim of a robbery. The same is true of exterminators and pest control companies. They ease worry of ridding your house of bugs and vermin and the diseases they carry. Do they deserve to turn a profit? Yes, they do. Folks, you're in business because you have a skill or a talent that can solve someone else's problem. Because of that skill, the opportunity to create wealth for yourself. You have the opportunity to create wealth for yourself by being profitable. There's nothing wrong with that. Without doing anything illegal, you have the right to charge what the market will bear for your service. If you have extraordinary sales, consulting skills, and encounter a business owner who desperately needs to increase his sales, you're in a position to solve a very big problem. You may not think that the problem is on the same level as the catastrophes of fire, floods, or burglaries, but that business owner who employs a staff of 20 and needs to make payroll probably see it as a catastrophic problem in need of a real solution. If you can help him, I am certain he does not begrudge you making a profit. Did you ever hear the story of the home heating repair guy who was called to fix in a furnace? The house had no heat. The temperature was well below freezing. There were kids around. It was very uncomfortable. And the lack of heat was a pain, if not a catastrophe for the homeowner. The repairman came in. He surveyed the situation, turned one screw on the furnace, and handed the homeowner an invoice for $200. $200, the homeowner cried when he looked at the invoice, but you only turned one screw. With that, the repairman took back the invoice, adjusted it, handed it back to the homeowner. It now read, "Turning one screw, $1. Knowing which screw to turn to provide a warm house quickly $199. You know, if you're agonizing about raising your rates, I'd like to share what Dr. Carrie Drisga, the functional medicine doc, told me about our interview on this topic. Dr. Carrie is one of my coaching members. Here's Dr. Carrie. I remember early on agonizing about raising my fees. Small amounts, too. It created a lot of sleepless nights, and I felt guilty when patients pointed out that my rates had gone up. I felt like a failure because I'd been in business for so many years and was still struggling to support myself financially. In the end, it was a bunch of head trash. I finally overcame my fee issue by reading Dan Kennedy's book, No BS Price Strategy. It helped me understand why I should never discount or do free consults. It also helped me explain the concept. It also explained the concept of charging what you're worth. It wasn't new, but I struggled with this. The thing that changed for me was becoming a published author. When I saw the printed copy of my first book for the first time, I literally felt something shift, Dr. Carey writes. Now I could really charge what I'm worth. It made me unique. My prices went up across the board. And now if someone asks about a fee, I have to refer them to my assistant. I don't even know them. Great words. And let's hear from Gary George from Blazon Multimedia. He shared a similar experience on changing his mind about how much to charge. Here's Gary. There was a time when I didn't feel as comfortable charging clients for services that I had mastered because I'd been doing them for so long. When I knew it would only take me an hour, I was only charging an hourly fee. Then I realized it wasn't simply an hour, it was the years of experience and learning that I did provide to the service that I had to do to finally do that service so quickly and efficiently, just like the furnace guy, I might add. Let me introduce you to Steve Graves. He's the founder and president of Play Around Golf, an awesome indoor golf training facility in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Steve also understands that money is always flowing and it always flows towards value. Here's Steve. We're definitely comfortable with earning the most we can from as many as we can, as long as we can. If someone, including me, has a problem with us earning all we can, then I simply ask them how long they want us to stay in business. It's really that simple. Great advice, Steve. And let's hear again from Susie Miller. She shared that she's still working to overcome her own mindset about money. Here's Susie. I'm still in the process of overcoming it. I was raised in a middle-class family, and the mindset was that we were successful and that was enough. I realized that every dream of success starts with the person deciding to change their circumstances and not stay where they are. There's a great line from the movie A Knight's Tale in which the peasant squire decides to pursue glory and is told, "Go and change your stars." All successful people have a moment when they're going to change their stars. They decide they're no longer going to settle for what they thought was their place. We don't have to stay in our place. You know, business success depends on solving a problem, folks, no matter how big or how small outsiders may deem that problem to be. There are many people who see entrepreneurs as being opportunistic and simply profiting from other people's problems. In a nutshell, that's the way the world works. Concerning yourself with how others view turning a profit leads you directly to Squishyville. Let me introduce you to Dr. Anthony Weiner. He's the physician and surgeon of the Foot and Ankle Institute, founder and CEO of Stop Feet Pain Fast Institute. He had a real struggle, and he had a real nugget of information to share regarding being successful and profitable. Here's Dr. Anthony. As you become more successful, you will have more enemies and deal with a lot of obstacles. Even friends and family can become a bit insecure about your increased success or level of wealth. You have to be confident in your success. You have to be confident in your success. I learned that the money I have, the more I can help others. The more money I have, the more I can help others, and that's also a driver for me. Great words from Dr. Anthony. Another doctor client of mine, a coaching client, Dr. Michelle Summers Kalan. She's a physician, yoga instructor, and she's the founder of 34-Minute Shoes, and she also shared her thoughts about attracting wealth. Here's Dr. Michelle. At times when I was earning significantly more, sometimes family and friends became uncomfortable, and that caused me to be uncomfortable, so I did two things. One, I included in my circle of friends, people who were as successful, and two, I reminded myself that I worked really, really hard to get through school to get where I am today and that I deserve my success. I decided not to let other people's opinions about it matter. Very wise words from Dr. Michelle. Look, as long as you play by the rules, don't cheat, operate your business with integrity, pay your taxes, then by all means, step up to the plate, launch your business, and solve other people's problems, cure their pain, and work to create a nice, tidy profit for yourself. To close out this chapter, I want to share some really great nuggets of wisdom from two other authors who've written and speak extensively about wealth and the mindset that surrounds money. As you've already read, there are plenty of entrepreneurs who have head trash about money and wealth that are still resonating from lessons they learned growing up. Maybe you're struggling with the same type of head trash. So I want you to really digest the following perspectives from two books that I highly recommend. The first is called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eckert. And these are some of T. Harv Eckert's wealth principles. When the subconscious mind must choose between deeply rooted emotions and logic, emotions will almost always win. When you are complaining, you become a living, breathing crap magnet. If your goal is to be comfortable, chances are you'll never get rich. But if your goal is to be rich, chances are you'll end up mighty comfortable. If you're not fully, totally, and truly committed to creating wealth, chances are you won't. You will be paid in direct proportion to the value you deliver according to the marketplace. Rich people focus on opportunities. Poor people focus on obstacles. Rich people admire other rich people and successful people. Poor people resent rich and successful people. Rich people are willing to promote themselves and their value. Poor people think negatively about self-promotion. A true warrior can tame the cobra of fear. And the second book is by Steve Seibold. He has a lot to say about the rich and the poor. His book is called How Rich People Think. Steve uses phrases like middle class and world class instead of rich and poor. Here's a few thoughts from Steve's book. Middle class focuses on saving. World class focuses on earning. Middle class believes the road to riches is paved with formal education. World class believes the road to riches is paved with specific knowledge. Middle class worries about running out of money, and world class thinks about how to make more money. Middle class think about money being finite. World class see it as infinite. World class has a lottery mentality. World class has an action mentality. World class believes in financial scarcity, and world class believes in financial abundance. Middle class waits for their ship to come in. World class builds their own ships. Middle class believes money is about status, and world class believes money is about freedom. Middle class dreams of having enough to retire. World class dreams of having enough to impact the world. Middle class believes getting rich is outside of their control, and world class knows that getting rich is an inside job. Middle class plays not to lose. World class swings for the fences. Middle class believes starting a business is risky. World class believes starting a business is the fastest way to health. So folks, your ability to be profitable depends on your ability to solve a problem. As an entrepreneur, you may be hesitant to charge fairly for your services, thinking you're taking advantage of your clients and the problems they face. You are not. Evaluate your pricing. Charge what you're worth.